page 34 in the lesson book, Authority for God's People, mentioned there's three lessons that kind of go together. Lesson number three, back on page 19, was authority in the Godhead, meaning God having authority to say and do and give his word to mankind. Then on page 27, there was authority in the Word of God. That in one of the key verses, obviously 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 16 and 17, you know, all scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Word of God is profitable, our benefit, our blessing, profitable for doctrine. You receive doctrine from no other source. God had to reveal his message to us. So that written, that spoken and written word of the apostles provides us our doctrine. And our correction and instruction in righteousness. Now we're on page 34, authority for God's people. And now he's taken those first two lessons, and now he's looking at how God, through his word, gives us instruction on what to do as a congregation of people. So now he's taking it from just in general, or just those factual lessons, and said, now here's the application. We need to find out what God has to say to us and submit to it. That's the lesson. So on page 34, and he gives a couple places to read, and I just felt like we needed to read more than what he had in his introduction. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, but I want the verses 1 through 9. So I'll be reading from the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 4, but I'm going to begin at verse 1. In your lesson book, he begins at verse 4. And he only takes it through verse 6. I'm going through verse 9. So you can kind of capture the whole story. So now you get the setting, and of course he's just going to highlight what he wanted to emphasize. But let's capture the whole story. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The Israelites on their way to Canaan's land. Moses gathers them together before they cross over the Jordan River. Of course, they'll be led by Joshua and not Moses. But Moses gathers them around, and this is some of the instruction that Moses gives. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, the laws, the rules, the regulations, the statutes, and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live. Well, there's a whole sermon outline right there with each phrase. If you ever looking for an outline, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Hearken to the statutes, the judgments, do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. Verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Well, there's an authoritative statement, isn't it? Verse 3. Your eyes have not seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. That's idolatry. Verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. Wow. Just an interesting conclusion. Don't pass over that too lightly. Moses says, what I receive from God is what I've given you. What I have given you is not something I've made up. What I've delivered unto you did not come from my own thought process. Moses said, what I delivered did not come from what I think God meant. delivered to you, I did not put in my own words. What I delivered to you, you get the idea? What I said is what God wants me to say. That's what he said in verse 5. In verse 4. 5. Okay. So again, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Why, you think we don't have an influence on those around us? It says, what you do is going to be viewed or seen or observed by other nations. So verse 6 again. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So that's not all of Moses' lesson, but what the author has, again, the title for the lesson, God's authority for God's people. Well, Moses just clearly spelled out the authority for God's people. The statutes and the judgments which he preached as God commanded him. From the Word of God. That was last week's lesson. The next one he mentions in this book is in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And again, he kind of highlights verses 11 through 15, but I'd like to put the context there. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to tell you the whole story. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. This is the story about the Ark of the Covenant that the law commanded to be built and placed in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was, by definition, is a movable tent. So the difference between a tabernacle and a temple is one was movable and the other was not. You don't move a temple. It's made of bricks and mortar and it's huge. You don't just pick it up or take it. It's not built out of Legos. You don't dismantle it and carry it around. The tabernacle was. It was made of poles and tents or cloth and things like that. So this is the Ark of the Covenant that God commanded to be built and put in the tabernacle. And so we're talking about David. Did David build the temple? Collected the material. Collected the materials. Made the plan, the blueprint.
The materials weren't cheap.
Oh, no. But David Solomon is the next king of Israel. So here's the story. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. David made him houses in the city of David.
What's the city of David?
Jerusalem. They're close. They're neighbors. City of David, and prepared a place for the Ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the Ark of God but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the Ark of God, and to minister unto him forever. David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Lord unto his place, which he David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. Of the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and his brethren are 120. And then he gives a list of some of the other families in the Levites. Verse 11. David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Yirael and Asaiah and Joel and Shimei and Eliel and Aminadab. Said to them, verse 12, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For, and here's the key verse, verse 13. For, because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. In other words, when we moved the ark of God before, we didn't do it exactly as Moses James English, a breach, and sought him not after the due order. If you look in your class book on verse 13, a little more modern English, your New King James English, verse 13, for because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. So God was against us because we didn't follow his commandments exactly. And then he continues, because we did not consult him about the proper order. So they were, we need to move the Ark of God. We need to move the Ark of the Covenant. We don't need to ask God. We don't need to find out the proper order. Oh, there's a proper order in doing things? Wow. God was against them because they didn't do it according to the proper order, and David reminds them of that. So he says, we're going to move the Ark of the Covenant. Don't do it like you did it last time. Okay? Verse 14. First Chronicles chapter 15. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the Ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of Levites bear the Ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Remember the lesson title? Authority for God's people. Why do we do what we do? Or in the manner in which we do it? Because of the commandment of the Lord. Verse, continue this story in verse 25. Same chapter. First Chronicles chapter 15, because I want to give you the whole story. I wonder if they did it. Did they do it the right way? Here's the rest of the story. Verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obadiah with joy. Came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the Ark and all the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with sound of the cornet, with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Came to pass as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing. She despised him in her heart. Chapter 16, verse 1. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. Ah, mission complete. Now let's go back just a little bit. First Chronicles chapter 13. that necessarily had to do with the topic. I saw the Hebrews 13, verse 17 over on the other page here about submitting to elders, but we don't have elders. So I thought we might talk about it for a moment, but it's not applicable to our situation right now. But these first two chapters, Deuteronomy and First Chronicles, I thought were valuable. So let's pick up this story about moving the Ark of the Covenant again. First Chronicles chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, they may gather themselves unto us. Let's bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjathaim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Kirjathaim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwells between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Verse 7. They carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and harps and psalteries and timbrels, with cymbals and trumpets. When they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. This is the story David referred to, where you moved the ark before, and he didn't do it according to the command. When they went to get the ark, because it had been taken in enemy hands, and wait a minute, we're the victors now, I want that ark back here. So all of a sudden, how did they carry the ark? They put it on a cart. We're going to read that in a moment. Let's finish the story. So they, in verse 9 again, they came to the threshing floor of Chidon. Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen had stumbled. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand in the ark. And there he died before God. Wow. Just a little thing, huh? Some people in our generation would read that and they'd say, that's not fair. I don't like God because of what he just did.
It was one of the terrifying things he done actually.
Yeah. I'm going to read that next. But the point is, remember we've just been reading, you do things according to the command. You don't alter, vary, add to it. Nothing. As God commanded Moses, so he spake. Has to be done precisely if that's the specific command. So now here's the rest of the story. Verse 11. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? David, just do it like God said. That's all. Verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So now when we get to our story here in chapter 15 that we just read, David said, hey, let's gather together all the fathers of the Levite tribe and let's go get that ark. But let's do it not like we did it the first time. let's do it the right way. And that's what he did. So he called all the fathers of the Levites and had, you know, with the staves and put it on their shoulders and the way they went. Here's just to complete this story. In Exodus chapter 25, here's the law, what it said about how to carry the ark. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25, beginning at verse 10. Verse 9 is kind of a key phrase, too. It's an attitude that we should have. In Exodus 25, verse 9, verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, tabernacle, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. You do it according to the pattern. Fundamental principle of Scripture. So now here it has to do with the Ark of the Covenant, verse 10. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it. Thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it. Put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, 2 rings on the other side of it. Thou shalt make staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. So how do you carry the ark? 4 guys, the rings on 4 sides of the Ark of the Covenant, you put the poles through it, put a tie back here, and put the stave on their shoulder, and he puts the stave on his shoulder, and they pick the ark up, and they walk that way. And, finish here, 25, where did I leave off? Oh, verse 15. The stave shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Now you've known more about the Ark of the Covenant, but my purpose was not to tell you about the Ark of the Covenant, but the principle and the illustration of the story. They had to do things according in this God's people. And that's the title of the lesson, God, Authority for God's People, that's us. So again, why do we do things the way we do it? You know, we have to recognize the authority of God's Word, and we try to do things according to that principle.